APM Terminals wraps up $73 million rail expansion at Port of Los Angeles. APM Terminals $73 million rail expansion at the Port of Los Angeles, completed in early April 2026, represents more than infrastructure spending. It's a capital markets signal that reshoring-driven freight volumes are forcing terminal operators to fundamentally re-engineer last-mile logistics before cargo even leaves the dock. The facility doubled weekly rail lifts from 5,000 to 11,000 since 2023, a 104% increase that positions Pier 400 as one of the busiest intermodal terminals in the United States. The investment thesis is clear. As manufacturing returns to North America, the bottleneck shifts from ocean capacity to inland rail throughput, and operators with on-dock rail infrastructure will capture disproportionate margin. Details and strategic context: the project added 31,000 linear feet of new track, expanding the facility to 12 working tracks and 11 storage tracks with capacity to handle 4 full import trains daily for BNSF Railway, NYSE, BRKB, and Union Pacific, NYSE, UNP. Eastbound containers now depart in under 2 days. John Poulma, Managing Director of APM Terminals Los Angeles, framed the upgrade as a competitive differentiator. This strategic upgrade enhances the Port of LA's attractiveness as a gateway for cargo owners who rely on fast, efficient, and well-connected supply chains to serve their customers. Chris Brown, Chief Harbor Engineer for Design at the Port of Los Angeles, emphasized the on-dock storage model. Containers move straight from the boat into the yard and right onto a train before they even leave the gate. This eliminates drayage delays and reduces truck congestion on Terminal Island, where multiple rail yards depend on a single bridge for access. Why this matters: beyond Los Angeles, the Pier 400 expansion arrives as U.S. ports face structural pressure to absorb reshoring-driven freight growth without triggering the congestion crises of 2021 to 2022. The adjacent Port of Long Beach is constructing the Pier B on-dock rail support facility to more than triple its on-dock rail capacity to 4.7 million 20-foot equivalent units, TEOs, per year. These parallel investments, totaling over $100 million across the San Pedro Bay complex in the past 3 years, indicate that terminal operators and port authorities view rail-integrated infrastructure as the only scalable solution for anticipated volume growth. The alternative, relying on truck drayage to off-dock rail yards, proved untenable during recent supply chain stress tests. The operational model, manufacturing principles applied to ports APM Terminals approach diverges from traditional port operations by applying lean manufacturing disciplines to container handling. The company calculates equipment dispatch rates based on planned move counts, defines repeatable routes with known cycle times, and maintains structured yard observations to address bottlenecks proactively. Cameron York, Director of Operations for Rail and Gate at APM Terminals Los Angeles, described the system as operational discipline rather than theory. They're the operational disciplines behind our ability to consistently deliver sub-3-day dwell times. This matters for institutional capital because it demonstrates that port infrastructure investments no longer compete solely on capacity, they compete on process efficiency and predictability. A terminal that can guarantee sub-3-day dwell times offers cargo owners inventory cost savings and supply chain visibility that justify premium port selection. For APM's parent company, Denmark-based Maersk, OTC, the Pier 400 investment positions its terminal network as a vertically integrated logistics platform rather than a commoditized stevedore service. Rail network implications and Class I positioning: the expansion directly benefits BNSF and Union Pacific, the two Class I railroads serving the facility. Both carriers have invested heavily in intermodal capacity over the past decade, but on-dock rail terminals reduce their reliance on drayage contractors and compress inland transit times. For shippers routing cargo to Dallas, Chicago, or Memphis distribution centers, the difference between a 2-day versus 5-day port dwell time translates to meaningful inventory carrying cost reductions and improved demand forecast accuracy. Rail employment data suggests the industry is preparing for sustained volume growth. Rail jobs reached their lowest level since 2022 in Q1 2026 according to Bureau of Labor Statistics figures, indicating productivity gains rather than capacity constraints. Class I operators are handling higher volumes with leaner headcounts, a margin expansion dynamic that benefits equity investors but raises questions about service resilience during demand spikes. Cross-sector comparison: infrastructure capital deployment in 2026. The APM Terminals rail investment fits within a broader 2026 pattern of infrastructure capital targeting supply chain choke points. In the energy storage sector, FlexGen's acquisition of utility developer Clean Energy Services, announced in early April, reflects a similar thesis: vertical integration to capture margin across the value chain and accelerate project delivery timelines. Both transactions signal that operators in capital-intensive infrastructure sectors are prioritizing control over critical bottlenecks rather than relying on third-party service providers. In heavy industrials, ThyssenKrupp UTA's contract award for a low-emission coke oven battery at POSCO's Pohang Steelworks in South Korea, also disclosed in early April 2026, demonstrates that emissions reduction mandates are driving plant replacement cycles globally. The project replaces 1980s vintage equipment with NV-BAT technology, a pattern mirrored across industrial sectors where regulatory pressure and customer ESG requirements are accelerating CapEx cycles. The common thread, infrastructure operators who can deliver emissions reductions alongside throughput gains command premium contract terms. Capital markets and private equity / infrastructure fund positioning for private equity and infrastructure funds, the Pier 400 expansion validates the thesis that port terminals with integrated rail assets trade at structurally higher multiples than standalone container handling facilities. The investment required, $73 million for a 104% capacity increase, implies a capital efficiency ratio that compares favorably to greenfield port construction, which typically runs $150 million to $300 million per berth depending on depth and rail connectivity. Infrastructure funds with exposure to intermodal terminals should model volume sensitivity to reshoring trends. If nearshoring and friendshoring policies drive even a 15% shift in trans-Pacific container volumes toward rail-dependent inland destinations over the next 3 years, terminals without on-dock rail will face structural margin compression as drayage costs and dwell times rise. Conversely, rail-integrated terminals gain pricing power and can negotiate long-term throughput agreements with beneficial cargo owners seeking service guarantees. Key investment metric: APM Terminals achieved a 104% increase in rail moves for a $73 million investment, implying a capital cost per incremental lift that positions rail-integrated terminals as the most capital-efficient pathway to scale in U.S. West Coast gateway markets. The Plaquemines view the Pier 400 expansion as a leading indicator for a structural shift in how institutional capital should evaluate port and rail infrastructure assets. We see three consequential implications that the market has not yet fully priced. First, the drayage arbitrage is closing. Off-dock rail yards that depend on truck drayage for container delivery will face margin pressure as driver shortages and fuel costs make last-mile logistics the dominant cost component. Terminals that eliminate the drayage step capture that margin and can offer shippers lower all-in costs, driving volume consolidation toward rail-integrated facilities. This creates a winner-take-most dynamic in gateway ports where only two or three terminals per region will achieve the scale necessary to run continuous unit trains. Second, lean manufacturing principles applied to port operations represent a defensible competitive moat. APM sub-3-day dwell time guarantee is not simply a function of track capacity, it requires process discipline that takes years to institutionalize. Competitors can replicate physical infrastructure, but operational reliability at scale is harder to copy. For acquirers evaluating terminal assets, management teams with demonstrated process maturity command premium valuations because they de-risk volume ramp timelines. Third, reshoring is a multi-decade CapEx cycle, not a trade policy headline. The Class I railroads and terminal operators are making infrastructure investments with 20-year payback horizons, signaling confidence that manufacturing repatriation and nearshoring are durable trends rather than political rhetoric. The adjacent port of Long Beach tripling its on-dock rail capacity to 4.7 million TEUs annually confirms that port authorities and private operators alike are betting that import volumes will shift toward rail-dependent inland destinations as U.S. industrial production expands. Infrastructure funds that position early in this cycle, acquiring rail-adjacent terminal assets, securing long-term throughput agreements, and investing in process automation, will capture outsized returns as volume growth compounds over the next decade. We expect to see additional terminal mergers and acquisitions over the next 18 months as operators without rail connectivity seek to either build or acquire access before volume migration penalizes their cash flows. The playbook is predictable: acquire a subscale terminal with developable land adjacent to Class I tracks, invest $50 million to $100 million in rail infrastructure and automation, and convert the asset into a premium intermodal gateway that commands 15% to 20% higher throughput fees than non-integrated competitors. The Pier 400 case study provides the proof of concept. The bottom line: APM Terminal's $73 million investment at Pier 400 is not an isolated infrastructure upgrade. It's a capital markets signal that the economics of U.S. port operations are shifting in favor of rail-integrated terminals as reshoring drives freight volumes inland. Operators that can guarantee sub-3-day dwell times through lean operational discipline and on-dock rail capacity will capture disproportionate margin as shippers prioritize supply chain predictability over lowest-cost routing. For institutional investors, the takeaway is tactical. Rail-connected terminal assets and gateway markets represent a multi-year CapEx cycle with structural tailwinds from manufacturing repatriation policies and supply chain risk mitigation strategies. The Port of Long Beach's parallel $100 million-plus investment to triple on dock rail capacity confirms that this is a sector-wide repositioning, not a single-asset bet. Positioned accordingly, terminals without rail access will face margin compression within 24 months as cargo owners consolidate volume toward facilities that eliminate drayage bottlenecks.